I guess it's always fun to open the show with an apology, so let's just get it out of the way. Many people over our airwaves heard either Wendy talking or me talking or both of us talking. Wendy's in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm here in Chicago at the mothership, and I was told that you and I would be able to converse with each other off air, as we do in real life, except that you're in another city, but it turned out that that went over the airwaves.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I've got some good news.
What's the good news, Steve?
It looks as if United has cleared up this problem, this connectivity problem. So, well, it's about an hour or more, which is
going to mess everybody's day
all day long and probably into tomorrow. But so they're going to try to recoup now and get back on track. But it looks as if flights might soon be taking off for United Airlines.
And for people who don't know what we're talking about, there was some sort of a computer malfunction, right, Steve? Is that what they're classifying it
as?
Yeah,
they're calling it a connectivity issue. You know, which is
kind of like we had, Bill.
Yeah,
moments
right.
ago.
Exactly.
Let's pin this on United then.
It just shows it can happen to anyone.
Sure, it does. It does. That's exactly what it does. All right, so back to normal. We think now. Wendy is.
What
in
if I swore?
Oh,
I'm trusting you there with my life.
It'd be the first time ever.
Well, only, I mean, on the air, yes, it would be.
If only people heard how you guys talk to me off the air, they would be shocked.
Right.
When they do talk to you.
If we talk to you at all.
Did you hear, Wendy, that they're taking the Cosby statue down from...
I wrote that down as you did the news because I think I'm responsible.
Well, you saw it. You were in Disney World about a month ago, right?
Yep.
Roughly a month ago.
Took a fine picture with it and made some jokes, put it on Twitter, and it's been all over the place. And now I kept saying, I can't believe it's still up there.
Well, you found it ironic, as most of us did, that, I mean, Cosby's story is well known, what's gone on with him in the past year, but that the Disney Corporation, who is so careful of protecting their image, kept that statue up. Although there, it's at the Disney movie studio theme park there. And you said, I think, that most people just kind of walked past it, didn't really think much of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's in a whole grouping of Oprah's there, Betty White. I'm trying to think of all the other people that are there. Of course, Walt. There's a bronze head bust of him as well. And, you know, people were looking at it, but I was the only one that focused in on the Cosby and said, oh, my gosh, I got to get my picture taken with it.
Should Disney have a separate area of just celebrity statues of celebrities that have had something horrid happen to them? Wouldn't that be a better idea for them? By the Paula Deen statue, that could be over there.
They could have a little, you know, fake penitentiary fence around it, you know.
Right, a little hall of shame for celebrities.
I love it.
It's just an idea, Disney.
The weird thing is I've heard they've replaced Bill Cosby's statue with Jared Fogle now. So that's strange.
Oh, no.
He's not even been in a movie.
No, not yet. Subway the movie has not even come out yet. It doesn't come out till Christmas time.
And you know what I think about it, Bill? Really? Why isn't there a movie? That's a pretty amazing story that he lost all that weight. Why hadn't there been there was a Super Size Me. Why wasn't there a Subway movie about Jared?
I don't know. It's probably because anybody who knows the story knows, you know, if they did a movie version of it, you'd go, well, that's just Subway shilling for themselves. You know, who would want to talk about it much other than the Subway people themselves? But that guy lost 235 pounds, which is pretty amazing, eating a food that I don't think most people think about. When you think of any fast food restaurant, you're not really thinking healthy. You're thinking it's easy to get to. That's all you're thinking of. But now he's got other problems. He's got all kinds. Subway, you saw the story, I'm sure. Subway has temporarily, anyway, parted company with him, which we called yesterday. As much as you love your guy, if your guy's involved in something like this, even though nothing's concrete yet, you got to just put things on hold for a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, you have to remove yourself until everything, because we got criticized yesterday, Bill, because we were talking, I guess the media was being blamed. He hasn't even been, you know, convicted. But, you know, when the feds come and look through your stuff, that's news.
It looks a little suspect, doesn't it?
Yeah. And if you're Subway, you have to at least remove yourself from him while the investigation is ongoing.
Right.
Conclusion, because really it doesn't make them look good.
No, it doesn't. It does not at all. All right. So just quickly to reiterate, the Disney company has decided, as Steve pointed out in his news, that the Bill Cosby statue that's at their movie studios theme park. They've got four theme parks there in Orlando. This is the movie studio theme park. That statue will be taken down. Did they say when, Steve? Is that immediately? Are they pulling it out immediately?
Was it last night?
Yeah, local media said they were taking it down last night after the park closed.
All right. All right.
I am so glad I got my picture with it. I really am. It's going to be worth something.
I'm shocked it took this long. With everything that's gone on with him this year, I'm shocked that somebody at Disney, who, like I said, is so careful to protect their brand, didn't go, yeah, maybe the Bill Cosby statue isn't in our best interest right now. Although, The View, my former favorite television show, The View, is getting a lot of heat because yesterday two members of The View, Whoopi Goldberg and Raven Simone, who I'm sure most people remember worked with Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show, both of them still defending Bill Cosby like crazy, which is still very baffling to me. I think we all want to defend him because we've grown up loving him. But at this point, with more than two dozen women coming forth and Cosby himself admitting, I'm sure you saw the story, the deposition that he made 5 or so years ago, where he admitted to buying drugs to give to women so he could have sex with them. There's still people going, well, we really don't have all the facts on this yet. And he's not been convicted yet. I get that part of it. But the facts just keep piling up and piling up and piling up.
Well, I would like to, was it Aaron's Law that she is trying to get statute of limitations removed
yes.
from this? Because it should be removed. Because as we've discussed many times, victims will not want to come forward for many, many years. And it kills me that if he gets away with this just because the statute of limitations have run out, that
right.
stinks.
Do you know who Judd Apatow is, right?
Yes.
Judd Apatow has been at the forefront of saying, first of all, Bill Cosby should be in jail. No two ways about it. The guy's still doing stand-up. He's still, you know, running around the country doing jobs, although it's harder and harder for him to get those jobs right now for obvious reasons. But he says, at this point in this story, we really need to focus on the victims and do whatever we can to make their lives as normal as we possibly can. And we need to stop hemming and hawing as to whether or not Mr. Cosby is guilty or not and really focus on the victims because in his opinion, in Judd Apatow's opinion, we know what happened.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
You know,
and you got to go hemming and a hawing right. when you say a hemming and a hawing about Cosby.
Right, you do.
And we are in an amazing time. I mean, if you think of it, Cosby was, you know, the pinnacle, right?
Oh, absolutely.
In so many different ways.
Absolutely.
A former Speaker of the House is now involved in a sex scandal, apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've got one of the most widely recognized marketing guys
yes.
who may be much less involved. We don't know yet.
Right.
But, you know, think of that. Those are three big national names isn't the right word, but figures all involved in something like that right now.
Well, and you could go back. I mean, the sex scandal is nothing new. You know, there's everyone from Wiener to Spitzer on and on and on and on. There's been so many big sex scandals over the years. But you're right. This seems to be the year for them for some reason, doesn't it?
Right. And there's a sex scandal where you're having sex with someone you shouldn't have,
right.
you know, another adult, and you get caught. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But this is like, you know, weirdly criminal stuff.
Ugh.
You know what I'm blaming? And this is probably really, I shouldn't say this, but I wonder if a male enhancement medication is adding
to this. Do you think that plays into it? Do you think
so? It sure seems like it, because if, you know, men are taking these little blue pills and such, do you want somebody who's walking around like Steve Cochran mentioned, a 16-year-old when Linda Ronstadt was on stage?
Well, you know what?
I mean, seriously.
I don't agree with that, Wendy, because, I mean, if you look at and let's throw Jared out, because we don't know what's going on there.
Right.
Right.
But the other two cases, you know, the Hastert thing was certainly long before that.
Cosby, too.
And Cosby, too.
Yeah.
So
if Cosby's thing was, they're saying between 20 and 30 years ago, right? Is that about right? So that
was 20 and 30 women?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would have predated any kind of male enhancement type drug in Cosby's case, anyway. It is strange, though, that people who were so trusted, and in Cosby's case, I want to say who would have saw this, who would have predicted this in Bill Cosby, and yet there have been weird small signs over the years that something could have been up with him. I think that was the point that was made all along, is why is everybody so shocked by this? Evidence was there about guys like Bill Cosby, but he was so beloved by everybody that we all just kind of didn't want to see it, right? We still don't. When as this story was developing months ago, you and I were like, oh, man, we met him. He was like the greatest guy we've ever met. This can't be true.
And he was such a proponent for, you know, making sure a father was in someone's life,
right.
you know, for kids. It's just, it didn't seem right. But, Bill, it's weird because who's the comedian that really brought this to the forefront?
Hannibal Buress.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like now we're finding information that a lot of the comics were not shocked by this and kind of almost seemed like there was a code where they kept it quiet, but the mass public was like, what?
Well, I told you, when we had him on, before we met him, I said to you, so many guys that I know who know him tell me stories that he was kind of prolific in his women chasing ways. You know, I didn't know it was anywhere near as dark as it's turned out to be. I had no idea that that was coming. But anytime Cosby's name would come up in conversation of guys who knew him or worked with him, it was always about the extracurricular activities that he was doing, that he was so masterful on stage, but it was the weirdness of him off stage. And then we met him and it was like, wow, I don't want any of that to be true. He was such a nice man, but who better to spin a web and trap you in it than somebody you'd least suspect, right?
That's true. Yeah. You should be a mystery writer.
I am a mystery writer. I write all the Miss Marple books. Didn't you know that?
You said Miss Marple?
Yeah, Miss Marple. Not Miss Marple, Miss Marble.
The lesser known.
She sells crimes with marbles.
But better written.
Right. Thank you for saying that. All right. Quick break and then more ahead. If you want to reach us, we're at 312-981-7200. It's us, Bill and Wendy on WGN. Be honest, you were just saying letters at random, weren't you?
I really was. I needed to buy a vowel.
RVQL3CCO8. Somewhere robots are nodding, going, yes.
And
yes.
Then they'll kill us.
Right, eventually they will kill us. Feed your sports need. Watch Chicago's new nightly sports talk show at Sports Feed Sunday through Thursday nights at 6, only on CLTV. It's me, Bill Leff, in Chicago. Wendy is in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, what was the show that you saw? You started to tell us during the crosstalk with Steve, you saw some big production last night, huh?
Yes, I was. I know I was really excited about it. But we are here. My son Michael is going to the Fernando Jones Blues Camp.
Yeah.
And he's 16 years old. And I got him a What's Happening in Nashville magazine. And Michael said, oh, my God, Al Cooper, which you remember Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Absolutely.
He played keyboards for them.
Was he Tears in that band? I can't remember who he was. He was Tears, wasn't he?
Really? None of them are good. Would you want to be Blood? No.
No.
Sweat?
Mm-mm.
Really not good. I guess Tears is your best option.
They should have thrown in one positive. It should have been, and Marshmallow Fluff. They should have just had one that you go, that's the good one. So
well,
you saw him?
Well, yes. It turns out he was in the 60s. He was a session musician with all these Nashville people and played on a bunch of their albums. So they celebrated Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan and all these Nashville celebs. You know, Kathy Mateo was there last night. She did, which Neil Young saw? Heart of Gold.
Oh.
And it was just amazing.
You say she did it, what does that mean? She sang and played
guitar.
Oh, nice.
I mean, this was a whole huge setup outside the Country Music Hall of Fame. And it started pouring. We're right in front of the, where do the Preds play? Bridgestone Arena?
Yeah.
We're right out there. I'm looking at it. We're flipping it off because, you know, we're Blackhawks fans. Yes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the skies turn black, and we're like, it is going to rain like the Dickens.
Oh, no.
See, I'm in the South, so I'm going to talk like that now.
Right.
And
are your shoes off right now? Do you have your shoes off and you're chewing on
barefoot.
A weed?
All right, I'm barefoot, not pregnant, so that is good.
Very good news.
So the skies just opened up. And the sky was crying, Bill.
Oh, no.
And so we ran inside, and there's like a Country Music Hall of Fame mall. There's a radio station broadcasting there. And I got to be honest with you, it took everything in Jimmy Mac's power to hold me back. I wanted to go sit and talk with them on a remote. It
right.
was Hippie 97.1 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they covered up all the equipment on stage. They came back. Mike Nesmith came out. Little disappointing, Bill.
Why? Oh, don't say that. Why was Mike Nesmith disappointing?
He acted like he really didn't want to be on
stage. Oh, really?
He sang a song. I don't remember what it was. We got the CD, and I can't find it right now to tell you what song he sang.
One of his solo works? Not a monkey song?
Right. It was all the stuff that, you know, he had worked in Nashville back in the day.
Yeah.
And It looked like he didn't want to be on stage. He kind of had his back to the audience for a while they were doing a sound check. He just wasn't eating up the wonderful feeling of being on stage with all these fans in front of him.
Look up a song of his called Rio. When he did solo work, he's got a song called Rio that's really pretty. You'll like it a lot. He's done good stuff.
They did a Leonard Cohen song, Bird on a Wire, last night, and this woman sang beautifully. But I got to be honest with you, the highlight of the night, you're going to laugh.
Was?
Charlie Daniels, son of a gun.
Charlie Daniels was there.
Charlie Daniels showed up and did one song in, what is that that T-shirt? I can't think
I'm
of
with
logo
Stupid?
On it.
The one my friends always wear whenever they go anywhere.
The one with the smiley face on it. I like those.
Those are good too.
No, no? It's that's what you'd expect from Charlie Daniels.
Mom and Dad went to Bermuda, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. That one.
STP.
No, it was just an Under Armour shirt. You know, one of those silky workout shirts.
Yeah.
Bright yellow. With khaki pants and some trucker's cap, and he was just all pink in complexion and a white hair, white beard, and he got his little tiny mandolin out, and it was amazing.
Wow. That's a highlight. So, that is a highlight right there.
Yeah.
By the way, you and I were wrong about something yesterday. You had mentioned that Tracy Nelson would be performing, and you and I assumed it was Ricky Nelson's daughter, but a couple of people Facebooked me and texted me saying, please understand that Tracy Nelson is one of the geniuses of music, but I was not familiar with Tracy Nelson's work. Were you?
No, because I connected her to...
to Ricky Nelson.
Yeah, and then I thought, wasn't she on Square Pegs, Tracy Nelson?
There
I
was,
right, but I think this Tracy Nelson's a guy, isn't it?
No, it's a woman.
It is? Okay.
Oh, my God. She sang I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Yeah.
What is it, a Hank Williams Jr. song or something?
Could be.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And most of the songs there are sad, aren't they, for some reason?
No.
They're not all sad? Because every time I think of country music, we talked about this, for some reason the songs tend to have a little sadness string running through them for some reason.
No, there were some really, no, not really.
Some
were
upbeat?
Yeah, I mean, some of them were melancholy.
Oh, John Cougar melancholy?
Yes. He was not performing, though.
Shoot.
But here's a weird thing. Paul McCartney had done a song called Sally G in the 60s in Nashville. So Kathy Mattea and I believe Johnny Cash's son, I could be wrong on that, but they sang it last night, and it was just such a great time. It really was.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
You know, I keep telling her, tonight's the Grand Ole Opry. Lee Greenwood's there tonight.
Oh, Wendy, you got to go.
You got to go.
Grand Ole Opry.
Who's Lee Greenwood?
He's a great country singer.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
Lori Morgan's another big name. She's there tonight.
It doesn't matter
who's there. You got to go.
I might become a country bumpkin.
Oh.
I've got to tell you this. I really was enjoying the all-star jam at the very end. They did, Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
Yeah.
I'm turning into a country bumpkin. I think I'm moving here.
It was
I'm
inevitable.
I'm moving with Spike. I got to find his coach house or his shed.
You'll be fine.
And I'm moving in with Spike.
You'll be fine. Steve has the news in just a minute, and then our friend Tony Fulmer. We'll talk plants, and if you have any questions, 312-981-7200. That's what's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy right here on WGN. For some reason, Steve, I like when you say that things will be pleasant. I don't know. It's not overselling it. It's not underselling it. It'll just be pleasant.
75 is pleasant.
Pleasant. I think that counts. Still to come on the show at some point during the show, maybe more than once, you'll hear some animals making noises. It's not just Wendy and Steve and I conversing. It's actual animals. We're going to be at the Brookfield Zoo on Tuesday, and you can win tickets to join us there. So when you hear animal noises, dial us up at 312-981-7200 and be caller number 10. Also still on the show today, Lucianne Walkowitz, the 13th sexiest scientist in the nation. Yeah.
Yep. She's coming in the studio today?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not there, you know.
I know.
Okay.
We kind of planned that.
That's better.
Boy, while the cat's away, the goofballs will play.
I said to Kevin, we should bring in like a violinist to play in the background.
We're both wearing tuxedos.
Yeah. We got tuxedos on.
Well, we all have our interests. My interests are plants, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Fulmer is in the studio, or actually on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is on the phone.
Well, that's weird. I'm in Nashville, and you are probably at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, and you can go to chaletnursery.com. Tony Fulmer is the Chief Horticulture Officer. You made up that title, didn't you, Tony?
I did.
The CHO. That sounds legit. I'd buy into that.
It sounds good.
Be careful about the pronunciation of that.
Yes. And hopefully you're watering my tomato plants while I'm in Nashville. Did you get that message to do it?
I did, but fortunately or unfortunately, haven't had to do that yet.
And why is that? Because Mother Nature's taking care of our tomatoes.
Mother Nature has been providing more than ample rainfall, more than a lot of plants are liking, quite frankly, Wendy.
And that's a good thing, because really, I have a neighbor, you know, who volunteered to water my new plants I planted and my tomatoes. But this is such a great year. Everybody's lawns look so green. Flowers are everywhere. It's a good thing, or is this too much water for our plants?
Well, it's one of those things. There's always a downside to everything. And so it's a blessing. Yes, I have to say, I can't remember the last time that I saw things growing so lushly and just profusely, but there are some downsides. For those things that really thrive in hot, dry weather, it's a bit of a problem. And one of the things that we're seeing is people that have plants in containers need to be really, really careful. In a container, you have better drainage, more positive drainage than you do plants that are in, you know, soil beds, but you have to be really, really careful and make sure that the saucers, if you have an attached saucer to a hanging basket, or you have a beautiful ceramic container, something sitting on your deck or your patio that has a saucer, you have to be careful and always pour that drainage water out of there.
Tony, is there a variance in how long a plant can hold on to water? As Wendy just pointed out, she's out of town this week. I don't know if anyone's going by the house to water the plants, but you want somebody taking care of your plants on an almost daily basis, don't you?
Well, yes, they should be. While someone is gone, you really need to check them daily. And in this case, it's not a matter her neighbors don't have to be watering, but her neighbors have to be looking. And if any of these tomatoes are, or any of her plants are in containers, they're in saucers, you need to check on that and make sure that you literally pour that drainage water off. And a lot of times, if you have a beautiful big ceramic or a concrete urn, something like that, that you can't lift, then what you just need to do is get an inexpensive turkey baster and just mark it for plants, and then you can just bulb syringe the water out of that.
All right.
That's how we water Bill. Yeah. Sometimes he gets dehydrated.
With the turkey baster. And they water me with gravy, which is weird.
And Bill,
uncomfortable.
I have a question for you, Bill. Yeah. What is a Grecian urn?
About $3.50 an hour right now.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's really
okay,
low
thank
now.
You. Should we take a break and get right to the callers? Because every time Tony's on, the phones light up like a Christmas tree.
We've got a bunch of callers on hold already. If you'd like to add on, 312-981-7200, call or text your questions in for Tony Fulmer, the CHO over at the Chalet Landscape Nursery and Garden Center in Wilmette. Back after this, it's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Tony Fulmer is here. He's the CHO, the Chief Horticulture Officer over at Chalet Landscape Nursery and Garden Center. If you haven't been out there in Wilmette, it's beautiful. ChaletNursery.com for all your nursery needs. The phone lines are jam-packed, 312-981-7200. Everybody has a question or two for Tony. Let's start out with Jennifer. Jennifer, hi, go ahead.
Hi, my question is about indoor plants. Some house plants in some separate pots. And these little black bugs are flying around on and off the dirt and occasionally around the house.
Okay. Are these in plastic pots?
No. A couple metal pots, and then one of them ceramic.
But not clay pots that have the debris. Okay.
Nope.
Those are called fungus gnats, and that would indicate that the soil is very high in organic matter. And you probably
that means poop.
Are overly generous with the moisture.
Yeah, I think so.
Water more frequently than you need to, perhaps? They like a moist, highly organic soil. And so one of the things is just to let the intervals between waterings go a little bit longer, and just drying that soil surface out will make a big, big difference.
Oh, okay. No, that sounds good.
Those are fungus gnats, and don't worry. People always are alarmed and wondering if they are getting in the kitchen and or coming into the bedroom or whatever, and they're not. They stay right in the soil, but it's an indication the soil is just being kept too moist.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Problem solved. You're welcome.
That was quick. Thanks, Jennifer. Well done, Tony. You know your fungus gnats. I've always said that about you.
Well, as you said last time, I should consider taking this up as a professional.
You should do this as a job.
Bill's a genius, isn't he?
Thank you for that. Nancy's on the line. She has a question for Tony. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi. Last year, I lost all of my impatience, and I guess it was due to that downy mildew.
Yes.
And, oh, it was so sad. But I'm wondering if any new varieties of impatiens are being developed that are resistant to this fungus, or
They are already there. They are already available. So in addition to the New Guinea impatiens and the sun impatiens that already existed, there is a new series called Bounce.
Great.
And they will do in very well in partial shade or in full shade. And the nice thing about them is they are highly resistant to the impatiens downy mildew. And right now the colors are a little bit limited. This spring there were five colors, but they mound just like the old impatiens. And so you can have those nice hedgerows that people used to like to have in their part shade or deep shade situations.
Great. Should I throw out all my container soil that had the impatiens last year?
What are you going to be replanting in there?
Well, I have begonias in there now, and they're doing okay.
Don't worry about that, then. You can go ahead. Now, was this soil from last year?
It is.
Oh, we always recommend I prefer to take it all out. You know, soil, good container soil is the basis for your success, and so it's money well spent. So just dump that out in the garden and put fresh in, or at the very least, if it's a huge container, at the very least, take out the top half. But I always recommend in my containers at home, I always take everything and start out with fresh. But it would not be a problem if you took the top half out and put begonias in there. That disease is very specific for impatiens.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nancy.
Well, you're welcome.
Look at that. Tony, I was wondering if you have a bustle in your hedgerow.
Don't be alarmed now.
That's just a lyric. You said hedgerow, and I thought Stairway to Heaven right away.
It's a lyric to Stairway to Heaven.
I'm more of a disco guy. Disco references, I tend to get better and more quickly.
All right, that's fair. Don't worry. Brian has a question, non-music related, more plant related. Brian, go ahead. What is your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I got a two-part question. I'm a truck driver, and I have a 30 by 20 foot garden. And since I'm not there a lot, I put two large bags of peat moss in there. And it's holding the soil it's holding the moisture really well,
yes,
which is a good thing for me because I'm not able to water as frequent as I should.
Sure.
But now that we have today, what is today going to be, like 60 degrees? Should we be putting black plastic to heat the soil up a little bit around the tomato plants?
That's a really interesting question. I guess the first thing is that you said these are raised beds. You're adding peat moss. What did you put in those raised beds? Was it an artificial mix or was it a topsoil containing mix?
No, it's a regular garden. It's in the ground garden, and it was just peat moss and rototill.
Understood. Okay. Does it, you know, in a situation like that, certainly putting plastic down, but typically that is something that you would have started a little bit earlier to warm the soil. We are supposed to be warm the next couple of days over the weekend, and so you don't have it mulched. Is that right? It's just the peat moss is incorporated into the soil.
Correct.
Not on top. Okay.
Correct.
It will heat up fairly quickly, and later in the season like this, I think if you have concerns about that, I think I'd be more tempted to do that next spring. And if the soil is not mulched, it will, as soon as that sun hits it, it will start heating up very, very, very quickly. If you had a mulch on there and were concerned about that, I might say remove that or move it back a little bit and the soil will heat up. The soil will heat up fairly quickly.
Does that help, Brian?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Tony,
Bill,
still...
I know you're amazed that there are so many questions related
to that. I am shocked.
I know you are. I can hear your eyes
it's
rolling.
Overflow. And I would blame everything on fungus gnats, Tony. I'm serious. No matter who called in, I'd go, well, you got fungus gnats. That's what I would tell them. You're way better
than
I am.
What about mushrooms? And I have so many mushrooms in my backyard, and now that the Grateful Dead, the Deadheads are out of town, I don't know what to do with them. Are they going to hurt anything? Will the dog be poisoned if he eats them?
Well, there you have to be careful about that. There are a lot of mushrooms that are safe and a lot are not. And so unless you're an expert mycologist, you don't want to take that chance. So people that have mushrooms showing up in their yards after all this moisture, that's just a sign that sometime in the last 1 to 15 years, a large tree or large shrub has died. There's some kind of decomposing organic matter like roots. And so every time the moisture levels get right, those mushrooms, that organic matter, those roots or wood will start breaking down, and they will produce support for those mushrooms.
Wow.
That's pretty cool when you think about it.
And if you've got mushrooms, Tony, if you've got mushrooms, chances are you also have Smurfs, right?
That's a given.
That's a given. You got a Smurf problem. You got fungus gnats and Smurfs.
That's the name of your album coming up,
right.
Isn't it, Bill?
Fungus Gnats and Smurfs on Arista Records. Hold on a second. Yeah, Camille also has a question for you, Tony. Go ahead, Camille. What is your question?
I have a question regarding tomato plants. I recently went online on YouTube to learn about pruning tomatoes, and I learned something about spanking tomato plants.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
About what?
Does it work?
How often
spanking.
Should you spank your tomato plants, Tony?
I couldn't hear what she said. Spanking, I haven't seen that video. My assumption is that is a matter of tapping is maybe a better verb. And that
you
is just,
naughty little plant. I thought you were a vegetable, but you're really a fruit.
Yep.
Darn you. Yeah, I'm spanking
you. I can't turn my back on you. Yes. That I assume, I haven't seen that, but my assumption is that is to distribute the pollen.
Correct.
And to increase the pollination and fruit set.
Okay,
but
does it work though?
To as spanking the plant.
Does Correct. It work?
It would, especially when it's cooler like this. Especially when the nights are cool like this, this will affect pollination. But instead of spanking, you might just very very gently just shake them a little bit if you want to get out there and do that.
Or make them stand in the corner like my parents used to do to me.
Yes, take the pot and move it in the corner, exactly.
Yep. I've been doing it every day so far, and I got all my friends doing it, too. So we'll see how much yield we get at the end of the season.
Well, the important thing is that the temperatures have to get up a little bit, and when it's really, really excessively cold or excessively hot, pollination and fruit set are going to be down fairly dramatically.
Okay. I want to know where to get the little collars, the little leather collars to put on my tomato plants before I spank them.
Do they have those, though?
I'm sure if you go online. We don't carry them, but I'm sure if you go online.
You can find them, Wendy. Give up. Camille, thanks so much for your call.
One other thing, and they also suggested hanging red ball Christmas ornaments on your plants so that the birds think that those are tomatoes, and when they figure out they're Christmas ornaments, they leave your plants alone.
Does that work, Tony?
You know, that's something that I just learned from Wendy. So, no, I can't. I'm going to accept her that suggestion without questioning it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Camille. Tony,
I'm
always
try those
you
ornaments.
Got, those are great. That's a great idea. Tony, it's always fun to talk to you. Tony Fulmer, of course, the CHO, the Chief Horticulture Officer over at the Chalet Landscape Nursery and Garden Center in Wilmette. ChaletNursery.com has all your answers. And don't forget, spank your tomatoes when they need it. We can't stress that enough. Tony, thank you so much.
thank you
very much.
All right, more after this. Bye. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
What, do you think you're Elvis, Bill?
I don't think I'm Elvis. I didn't get this jumpsuit for nothing, Wendy. I spent over $100 on a jumpsuit. I'm going to play it big. Lucy Ann Walkowitz is in studio with us right now from the Adler Planetarium, where she's... I'm just promoting you. I don't know if you are the chief astronomer there, Lucy Ann, but I'm going to say you are.
I'm not the chief astronomer. I'm one of about 13 to 15 astronomers.
I don't know. But... you should be in charge over there. She
Lucy
worked
Ann,
on...
this may not go well. I'm not there to be the grandma and the naggy wife, so I hope you're fine with the
Come
two boys
on.
There. What about the seating arrangements, Spill?
The seating arrangements are fine. She's sitting, Lucianna's sitting where I usually sit, and I'm sitting, everybody's fine. Don't you worry. For people who don't know, have not heard Lucianne on the show before, the 13th sexiest scientist, according to Road and Track magazine. They were right. They nailed it.
Really, your source for information
right,
about science.
Right. I just said to you, how's your summer going? And you said it's too cold. And I don't know if this is possible, but we can control the climate to some extent, right? There's people who somehow can control the weather a little bit, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, one of the things that we should be doing and that we're kind of trying to do is to scale back carbon emissions to
right.
kind of prevent the planet from warming up. There are alternate methods of intervening with the global temperature. For example, when volcanoes erupt, really big explosions of volcanoes will inject particulate matter stuff into the stratosphere.
It's called stuff, right? In the science world,
term,
they call it stuff.
Yeah, we call it stuff.
Right.
She's saying stuff, Bill, so you will understand.
Thank you.
Well, so that can cool the planet temporarily, but if we wanted to do that on purpose, we'd have to continuously do it. You know, it would have all these side effects that we don't really understand, like the sky would probably be white.
Is that true?
We'd have a bunch of haze in our upper atmosphere, which might not be great for astronomers.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you can sort of scale up that argument that you have with whoever you live with about the thermostat setting.
I live alone, by the way.
Well, tell your wife
back
that.
To college. Well, so there's optimal settings for the thermostat that are different for different people, and in this analogy, they're different for different countries. So
this shouldn't have. Yeah. This is a bad thing.
This is a bad thing. What we should actually do is just emit less carbon, and then maybe we won't end up like Venus.
Told you, Wendy. Wendy didn't believe me. I told her all the time.
Lucianne, I have a question for you because there are a lot of people that say, "Oh yeah, global warming. Look at all this snow we get in the winter." Can you please explain that global warming has nothing to do with that it's warm everywhere? It's that our polar ice caps are melting and it's affecting things everywhere?
Yeah, we broadly try to use the phrase climate change because that's a little bit more accurate. It is actually true that the ambient temperature is going up, but the way that that plays out in reality is that there is not just, you know, melting ice, but lots of other, and sea level rise, but also lots of other effects like changes in weather patterns, which can lead to more extreme weather, whether that be cold or hot. So weather
right.
is sort of a local phenomenon, whereas the globe itself has sort of an average temperature that takes all of that into account.
So if science has all this data proving what you just said, and they do, it's everywhere, you can find it anywhere, how are there people who are still saying, no, it doesn't exist, if there's all this proof and evidence?
Well, you know, opinion formation is really interesting. The opinions that we hold are often more about our bonds with our social networks
mm-hmm.
Than they are about actual facts and data. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that it's important to talk to people about your beliefs, even if they disagree with you.
Right.
Because it's really only through personal connections and, you know, like we have a big emphasis at the Adler about people being able to come in and talk to a scientist. And that's kind of why that's important, is that those personal connections you make around this information is what allows people to make informed decisions.
This should be 24 hours a day, by the way. People should have access to scientists 24 hours a day.
We do actually need to sleep like normal humans.
All right. I get that. But in science circles, is there still a debate among scientists about whether or not you're getting climate change? Or in science, is it 100%
no.
agreed where the Earth is changing?
I'm sure there is maybe like one or two lone scientists somewhere that believes otherwise, but the grand scientific consensus is that their climate change is real.
All right.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Adler Planetarium, which is where you're from. I got to tell you, these billboards I've been seeing, there are diamonds in the sky and space. These billboards are fantastic right now.
I am so glad you like them. This is our new campaign, which really encapsulates what we at the Adler think, which is that space is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those amazing facts that you see on these billboards are just things that we think are really exciting, and we wanted to share our enthusiasm with, you know, Chicago and all of our visitors to Chicago this summer.
There's big news with Pluto. Can we talk about that in just
a little bit?
All right. Stick around. Lucianne Walkowitz is here from the Adler Planetarium. We're going to discuss Pluto. And if we have time, some alien life, the possibility of alien life. I know
sure.
that seems like, is that something we're going to wait on? But that's a big story, too. We'll get to all that in just a
Thank
little bit.
Thank you, Mulder.
You're welcome, Scully.
Truth is out there.
It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Lucianne Walkowitz is here from the Adler Planetarium. She is the greatest astronomer of all time. That's safe to assume, right?
I have to tell you, I love your quote, Lucianne, because you're like, space is freaking awesome.
It is.
It is.
We really do believe that. That's why we plastered it all over Chicago.
Do you do that thing? I wonder if somebody as high up as yourself does this, where you look up at the vastness of space and you talk about or you think about the improbability of it all, of how anything could be that large. Does that baffle you?
It does. You know, I try not to do that too often because I think I would just like be in a constant loop of blowing my own mind.
Right.
And then I would never get anything done.
Yes. All right. So do that from time to time, but don't dwell on it is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, all right. Like, what's the point of being an astronomer if you can't be awestruck in the way that you hope that other people will be awestruck when you tell them about what you work on, you know? That's kind of part of the fun. It's one of the fringe benefits.
I was loving that Venus, was it Venus and Mercury that were so close together? I called the kids out in the yard. We looked at it. You could see it with the naked eye. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was actually Venus and Jupiter.
Jupiter.
And so they, I think, were the closest they've been in about 2,000 years in the sky. So it was really kind of an amazing celestial show. We took some small telescopes out to Millennium Park on the 30th of June and had public stargazing as part of our Scopes in the City program, where we take these small telescopes out. If you look it up on our website under Programs and Events, you can figure out where we'll be next and come stargaze with us. But we had about 300 people show up and, you know, got to see Jupiter and Venus, and also Saturn is up right now as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of amazing to, in, you know, a brightly lit city like Chicago, be able to look up and see these nearest neighbor planets.
Because ideally, to see these, you don't want the lights from a city, ideally, but the equipment is so sophisticated at Adler that it kind of filters through it, doesn't it?
Well, it helps the planets are really bright.
Yeah.
So even, you know, the four sort of closest largest moons of Jupiter, for example, are called the Galilean moons because Galileo, with a very, very early telescope,
Galileo!
Was able to... so he was able to see them because, you know, you don't actually need like a super powerful telescope to be able to do that. And planets are super bright, which is why you can easily pick them out with your eye.
Right.
And you can even see, you know, the rings of Saturn through a small telescope.
Yep.
Even from
really?
A big city.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
And that's dust and particles that's flying around making the rings?
Yeah, they're kind of little icy bits. Also a technical term.
Yeah, icy bits and stuff. I could be a scientist, Lucianne. I'm not that far off. Tell us about this, the New Horizons flyby of Pluto. What do we need to know about this? This is big news.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So very early in the morning, Chicago time, on the 14th next week, Tuesday, this mission, New Horizons, will be flying by Pluto. Now, Pluto, of course, for a long time was our outermost planet. Now we know that it's one of these many icy worlds in the outer part of the solar system known as dwarf planets or Kuiper Belt objects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really eluded study because it's so far away. And so up until now, you know, really the best picture we had of Pluto was this sort of fuzzy-looking marble that was taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. And the Hubble Space Telescope is a wonderful, sophisticated telescope, but Pluto's just really far away and really faint.
Yeah.
So this mission, New Horizons, has been traveling for just about a decade now, I think, to visit the outer parts of our solar system. And already we have, from New Horizons, its best pictures ever of Pluto. We have these mysterious dark and bright patches on the surface that we've never been able to see before. Pluto, it turns out, is sort of copper-colored. It looks almost like a tarnished penny.
Oh.
And down by the equator, there's, you know, as we see these things and they come into focus, the team gives them sort of informal names. So there's the whale, which is sort of a whale-shaped thing that's on the equator, this dark patch. There's the donut, which is a brighter patch. And then what we've been calling the brass knuckles, which are this series of dark spots, each of which are about the size of Missouri. Yeah, it's cool. Because right now we're, to sort of paraphrase one of the mission scientists, we're at this phase where we're seeing like a man in the moon moment with Pluto, where now we can see these dark and bright patches, but we don't really know what caused them yet. So in celebration of this, we're having lots of events around Pluto at the Adler next week. We'll have an entire exhibit about the discovery of Pluto that will be in our welcome gallery starting next Tuesday. many people, this is a little piece of local trivia for you. So Pluto was discovered the same year that the Adler opened.
Oh.
And this is both Pluto's 85th birthday of discovery and the Adler's 85th anniversary of opening.
So Pluto wasn't, I mean, they knew that it existed, you know, just on a large map of the galaxy, but they didn't really know much about it or name it until just that recently, 80 some odd years ago?
No, we didn't know it existed.
Oh,
until
wow.
85 years
wow.
ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can come and see, we have some pre-discovery plates, which are basically the fancy word for photographs before astronomical images were digital.
I thought it was the Franklin Mint plates that you could put on your wall.
You should put those up. People love those.
Plates, yes. So we'll have these pre-discovery plates, which are on loan from Yerkes Observatory, along with the story of how Pluto was discovered. And a cool thing about the Adler is because we opened just before the discovery of Pluto, in our in the very center of our lobby, we have these wonderful Art Deco plaques of mm-hmm. all of the planets. And Pluto's not on there. And so we're actually now, as of 2006, when Pluto became a dwarf planet, the plaques went back to being correct, essentially, because prior to that, the Adler opened and Pluto hadn't been discovered
sure,
yet.
Of course.
So it wasn't up there on the
list. Oh, how about that? How about that? So what will happen, and I don't know what kind of a time frame, now that New Horizons has flown by and has seen these dark and light patches, are we years away from understanding exactly what those represent, or will it take longer than that?
Well, it's hard to know without seeing it.
Yeah.
So certainly many things will take time to figure out. One of the surprising things, in addition to Pluto's dark and light patches, is mm-hmm. that its moon, Charon, seems to have these dark spots around the poles. And, you know, usually poles of planets are places where you expect there to be things like ice.
Yeah.
And ice tends to be bright in images. So we don't know why the poles of Charon, for example, are dark. So while we'll get pictures back within, you know, a day of this flyby, it'll actually take a long time, about a year, for the full raw data to even download, just
right.
because New Horizons is so far away in the outer solar system. It takes several hours for even a little bit of information to come back. And so those raw images, that data, which is really big, will take a while to
get
back.
Those photos back. I go through CVS. I get stuff the next day. Seriously, you should think about that.
I'll tell NASA.
All right. And then what's this about
aliens?
Microbial alien life. This is, what would be bigger news than finding out if this is true? What do we need to know about this?
So is this the story about the Philae-Lander?
Yeah, the comet.
Microbial life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where this story came from, but to the best of my knowledge, there's nothing to do with microbial life.
Really?
This comet. Yeah, this is sort of popped up on the news feeds yesterday. It would be really exciting, of course, and we expect that comets maybe contain the building blocks of life,
right.
Things like complex molecules. You know, and actually to bring Pluto into the mix, this coppery color that we see on Pluto is thought to be kind of gunk, you know, large complex molecules that are formed when methane interacts with ultraviolet light from space, from our sun and from other things out in space. And so that gunk has this sort of like orangish color to it, which is why Pluto is the color it is. And, you know, things like that gunk, complex molecules, those we think are the building blocks of life. But, you know, you wouldn't look at the, like, gunk in, you know, your bathtub drain and be like, life, I found life.
You've never seen my
aliens.
Bathroom.
But that would be the biggest of all news for anyone in astronomy or almost any job. The fact that life exists somewhere else, that's the golden bonus.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the discovery of life either outside of our solar system or on another world within our solar system is, you know, hugely exciting to most astronomers. And, you know, I think it's kind of a neat thing because it's exciting to people everywhere. I think, you know, are we alone in the universe is sort of one of those big human questions that we live now in a time that science can kind of address it. And so that's why, in part, we get so excited when we go to the outer solar system and we get to explore something like Pluto, is that those Kuiper Belt objects, those icy bodies in the outer part of the solar system, are kind of the leftover material from the formation of the solar system. And there's a lot of mysteries about, you know, like why Earth, for example, has lots of water, how that got there, how complex molecules formed that maybe became the precursors to life.
Sure.
And so by exploring the outer solar system, one of the things that we get to learn is, you know, what were the early building blocks of our solar system really like? And so one of the things that we're hoping to learn, you know, is not just about Pluto, but really about the early history of our solar system that led to us having things like human beings that build space missions and telescopes and try to figure out whether, you know, life could be out there either on the other planets of our solar system or moons or around other stars.
Yep.
One of our texters actually put this into layman's terms. European Space Agency knows if they found evidence of life on Comet 67P because there were certain gases that are only given off by biological organisms. So that's where this all started.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so this is kind of a gotcha. It's actually a really accurate, a really active area of research is figuring out what would be, for example, and we call them biosignatures. Mm-hmm. So biosignatures means looking at the atmosphere or gases of something, whether it's a planet, a comet, whatever, and trying to figure out the particular mixture of those molecules that would be there that would indicate that life was somehow modifying those gases. So, you know, here on Earth, plants breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. We breathe in oxygen and out carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Cows walk around, you know, farting methane.
Yeah.
So
I lost a bet. I bet Wendy, $30 you wouldn't use that phrase at any point during today's proceeding.
That's a really specific phrase.
I lost $30. That's fine. Whatever.
Can I just say smart is the new sexy, Lucien?
Yes.
Seriously, it is so cool listening to you talk about this and your enthusiasm.
And you're right. Space is, as you said, freaking awesome.
It is awesome.
Amazing. Go to the Adler Planetarium, see everything they have to offer. It's one of the world's best, really. Always a pleasure to have you on. Come by more often. Lucien Walkowitz
anytime.
From the Adler. We'll be back after this. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill F. here in Chicago. It's Wendy Snyder in Nashville, Tennessee, where she'll be for the rest of the week. As Steve pointed out in the news, it's going to be pleasant tomorrow. You know who else is pleasant, Wendy, is that Lucien Walkowitz from the Adler Planetarium.
I'm telling you. I'm playing the part of the listener because I'm
right.
in Nashville. I can't see you.
Right.
I'm only listening. And, I mean, that is just so exciting and refreshing to hear a woman who is very attractive.
Is she?
But again,
I don't know.
I can't
is
see
she?
Her right now.
I wasn't really focusing on that. I was focusing more on the science, but I guess now that you say that, I guess she's pretty, yeah.
Like you always read Playboy for the cartoons. We know, and your little tree house that you
articles,
still have.
Articles, the articles.
They're articles.
Oh, sorry.
It's better. I wanted to know what the best stereo equipment was. That's why people read it.
Right. But just being, you know, I can't see her today because I'm not there. And just
I drew some pictures. I can email you the pictures. I did some rough charcoal sketches of her while she was
what
here.
What are you, Verna? What's the woman who always did the sketches on the TV?
Oh, I don't know.
Remember during trials, her
name
was
right,
Verna
right, right.
something.
Yeah, right.
They couldn't
yeah,
let
sure. I remember Verna.
Cameras into the courtrooms back then.
Yeah, I did some
but
of those.
Just listening to her, it's just so cool and exciting and refreshing to hear a woman geeking out about
yes.
science like that.
Exactly.
Or anyone geeking out about. I mean, I have to listen to you geek out about toys, my husband about Star Wars. It's just refreshing to hear someone geeking out and being proud of it.
She's, and we've talked about this both with her and among ourselves, and sometimes I'll just talk about it when I'm by myself. She's the 13th sexiest scientist, and that's not fair.
Because we looked through at 1 through 12, and they got nothing on her.
Nope.
Men or women.
Nope. A terrible mistake. An awful mistake.
I made an awful mistake here in Nashville.
What'd you
and
do?
I'm feeling a little guilty for it. And you know that sometimes I use the airwaves as my confessional.
You have that right? Why wouldn't you? What happened?
So bless me, Bill, for I have sinned. A little something happened at the Country Music Hall of Fame. As we were leaving, and again, we were there to see this fantastic concert as they are promoting this new Dylan Cash and the Nashville Cats. It's a double CD.
Johnny Cash's son, right?
Yeah, John Carter Cash was there,
mm-hmm.
and he also, these are just all these old-time Nashville people that recorded back here. Michael Nesmith, who now goes by Michael Nesmith instead of Mike.
I think he switched back and forth even in Monkey Days, didn't he? I think he was Michael sometimes and Mike sometimes. Yeah, All right, so what did you do?
Kathy Matea. So I'm just setting the scene here. You know, we're here for this concert, this free concert, and it starts pouring. So they cleared everything. They covered everything on stage and waited about an hour, and then they resumed the concert, and we were there, and it was awesome. So we're walking out, and there are all these food trucks here, and I thought of Hannah and Dane, who will be coming up later on this morning. And there was an ice cream truck. And it says, root beer floats, shakes. And I look at the boys and I said, root beer float, orange whip, orange whip. And so Michael wanted a root beer float. And Dylan says, oh, okay, I'd like a chocolate shake. So I walk up to the food truck and there's this young girl there, very nice. And I said, hi, I'd like a chocolate shake and a root beer float, please. And the kids are right behind me. And the woman says, or the girl says, you know, oh, we've already cleaned our shake machine, so no shakes. And I said, well, that stinks. Mm-hmm. I said, Dylan, no shake. And I said, Michael, you still want a root beer float? Yes. So the girl says, well, we're out of vanilla ice cream, so it would have to be cookies and cream in your root beer float.
Can I,
now, Bill?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Were you wearing your Blackhawks sweater?
No, but this was right in front of the Bridgestone Arena.
Ah, all right.
But no, I was a little countrified last night with some white shorts and a big belt.
You didn't wear the Daisy Dukes that you packed?
Yes.
You should have wore those.
All right, so Bill, I'm asking you a question.
Yeah,
because
sure.
You like a good root beer float,
love
okay?
Love them.
Would you like it with cookies and
never.
Cream?
Never. That's not
Thank
a root beer
you.
Float.
Thank you.
That is not. So, yeah, you can't do that. No substitutions.
You know, Michael's like, oh, I don't want cookies and cream. And the girl's like, really? It's really good.
No,
it's a little
not.
Sweet. She is just trying to make a sale, okay?
Cookies and cream means there's chocolate in it, and chocolate and root beer don't go together.
Thank you.
You can't do that.
So much for supporting me
No,
for
you can't do that.
But you wouldn't support what I then proceeded to do. I'm a little embarrassed,
oh, no.
okay?
Did you set the truck on fire? Wendy, you
no.
can't do that.
No, but I, you know, I just said, kids, we'll just go somewhere else. Thank you so much. We had a great time tonight,
yeah.
and I walked away. So that's me being pretty pleasant,
I
right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, she says, as my kids hear, she says to her coworker, she is not fun.
Oh.
And my kids heard that.
Oh, and you heard that. The worst part is you heard that. Oh, you
didn't? I didn't hear it. I had walked away, but my kids were still kind of looking there in disbelief that here's an ice cream truck with nothing that they want in it.
Right.
So Dylan,
declaring you not fun.
Right, and
you
that's their
that.
Mom.
Right.
So Dylan and Michael come up to me and said, probably shouldn't tell you this, Mom, but that woman just said you're not fun.
Wendy, thanks very much. Steve just came in, burst in a little bit with a story out of New York. Steve, there's been an update?
Yeah, the trading has been halted at the New York Stock Exchange. And while we don't know exactly what's happening yet, it does appear as if it's a technical issue. So it's not as if the market was dropping out somewhere. And
right.
They stopped trading for that reason, for an economic reason. It does look as if there's a glitch here somehow, just as there was earlier today with United Airlines that forced a ground stoppage. And I want to make it, you know, United said at this time expressly that this was not the result of hacking or any sort of cyber attack, the United situation. So perhaps it is simply a coincidence, but right now trading has been halted on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And we expect to hear more from ABC coming up in about 10 minutes or so.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, Steve. Wendy, before the...
The coincidence, though, may be that I am using a wireless remote from Nashville, and maybe, you know, the power of WGN
right.
signal is messing up
it.
United and the Stock Exchange.
I wouldn't be shocked if that was it exactly.
I'd be shocked.
yeah,
wait,
I was recapping.
Let me congratulate somebody very quickly first, Wendy. Sharon of Chicago is our latest winner. Sharon and three guests will be joining us at the Brookfield Zoo on Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday. You can join us. It's the next stop on our WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. All sorts of animals as far as the eye can see. We're going to Brookfield Zoo on Tuesday, July 14th. That's from 9 a.m. till noon. WGN Radio listeners will get exclusive early access at 9 a.m., that's a half hour before the zoo officially opens. You'll meet some of the animals from the new Wild Encounters exhibit. You can listen to us to win four tickets, including admission and parking, or you can get your tickets from the zoo. That's always allowed. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for full details. That's the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate Chicago's Own Good Hands. And I'm being told from a reliable source that that could happen again before the show is over. So keep on listening. Wendy, back to you.
All right, I'm in Nashville. Go to this album release concert last night at the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville. And it's the album Dylan, Cash, and the Nashville Cats. So these are a whole bunch of people that are from the Nashville area in the 60s. They recorded all these great songs. And so a big all-star-studded concert. We have a great time, interrupted by a brief thunder and lightning storm. And we hang out and watch the concert. And on our way out, a bunch of food trucks. As the little flyer there says, food trucks, family activities, fun, and more.
Oh.
Well, you know, so I see this truck. They have root beer floats and shakes. I order a chocolate shake for Dylan and a root beer float for Michael. The young girl, very cute, very nice, she informs me, oh, well, we've cleaned our shake machine, so no shakes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And for the root beer float, we only have cookies and cream ice cream.
Yeah.
It's really good, and I'm thinking, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
And, Bill, you support my
You need vanilla ice cream
there.
And a root beer float. That's it. Non-negotiable.
So I just said, oh, boys, you know, whatever. Let's just go somewhere else. And I look at the girl and I go, but thank you. We had a great time tonight.
Yeah.
And I walk away.
You were pleasant.
Being very pleasant.
Right.
Well, she says, within the earshot of my kids, she looked at her coworker and said, she is not fun. Now, I didn't hear this.
Just based on the fact that you wouldn't take a substitution, that's what made her decide that you are not a fun person. That was it. That's all it took.
Right, because I won't go, you know, I won't let go and put cookies and cream ice cream in a root beer float, which would totally ruin it.
Yes, it would.
So I didn't hear it. The boys come up to me and say, Mom, she just said you weren't fun.
Them's fighting words.
And I just kind of blew it off. I just kind of quietly flipped off the truck. And Dylan goes, are you going to take that from her? Because Dylan is a little me. He knows how to get me going. And he goes, are you going to take that from her? Mom, she just said you were not fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like thinking, what do I do? What do I do?
To prove you're
so
fun.
I walk.
To prove that you're fun. You have to do something to spite her to show that her that you're fun, right?
Exactly.
All right, good.
So I walk up to the food truck, and she's now looking at me, kind of walking up while she's helping another customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, in the background, put my, oh, no, you didn't finger up. And I just went, oh, I'm a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I am so fun. And she just kind of was smiling. I waited till the customer walked away. And I said, I am so fun. And she said, what? And I said, I am really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, I didn't say you weren't fun. I said, that's not fun. I said, really? Because my kids specifically said, and you said it in front of my children, oh, she's not fun. And I just wanted you to know that I'm a lot of fun. It's just you don't have a shake for my one son. You're trying to substitute some other ice cream for the root beer float for my other son. And you know what? I'm not trying to cause a problem here. You're just trying to make a sale. And she said, oh, I said it's not fun.
It's
and
not
I said,
fun.
I said, whatever. I just said, you know, and I was leaving, and I said, oh, thank you anyway. We had a great time. And we did, so F you. I said it to her.
You know, you're going to reignite the war between the North and the South, don't you? That's what's going to happen next.
And Dylan says, you feel better now, Mom?
And you do.
I said,
I know you do.
What I do. I was not trying to cause problems. She caused them. And I then, Jimmy Mack goes, you just said F you to her? And I said, well, she kind of deserved it.
You proved that you were fun. In a weird roundabout way, you did the most fun thing. Well, good
well,
for you.
I did feel better, and I needed to use the airwaves as my little professional. So how many Hail Marys?
I think you got to do at least 10.
I think, our fathers?
Yeah, 5 more of those. You'll be fine. Right. You'll be absolutely fine. In a little bit, Steve with the news, a lot going on in the news, and then
we're
we'll
fun.
Talk. There will be some fun involved, and then
we're
Hannah and Dane
fun.
From Flavor HD will be by. Stick around. It's us, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. I'm here in Chicago in the Allstate Showcase studio. Wendy is in Nashville, Tennessee. She'll be there for the rest of the week.
Howdy. Hey.
Howdy, y'all.
Hannah and Dane doing impressions of Minnie Pearl,
that's,
I believe.
That's what I'm doing.
Very nice.
And I came with a price tag on my headphones.
We all have a price on our head, Hannah. Yours is just a little bit more visible. There's a lot going on in the world of food. Now, last week we confused some people.
Julie Stern specifically. Yes.
There was a preview of Taste of Chicago, which didn't start officially, doesn't start until today, right?
Well, yes, about 8 minutes ago it opened.
Yeah.
It used to start on the 4th of July or be in cahoots with that, wasn't it?
Yeah. It ended. It was always, the 4th of July was always the last day because
there
was
a big concert.
It was, the big concert, and they would do the fireworks on the 3rd of July, and then all of a sudden they went, why should we keep up with that? That's
right.
Just silly.
Right.
Let's
they wanted to
people.
Avoid the deadheads, be honest. Let's is that
probably,
why they waited?
Probably likely.
I bet that would have altered it things a little bit. It would have, right?
Many things were altered for the deadheads.
I guess so, yeah.
Just too many people. I mean, it's a big city here, but we want to spread out some of the enjoyment and kind of, you know, so you can pace yourself.
Right.
On the fun and food side.
As you mentioned last week, there are certain restaurants that just have what they call pop-ups. Mm-hmm. It's a one-day thing. That list must be available easily somewhere, right?
You can find out what's there. City of Chicago has that posted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And will you guys be attending it later on today? Do you go to the opening day ceremonies? Yeah.
Obviously.
I'm there now in spirit. You know, I'm actually right. Just like Wendy's from Nashville.
But we did mention James Van Osdall, who can be heard here frequently on WGN doing fill-in. He has a podcast with another friend, Mike Bratton, called Car Con Carne. Mm-hmm. And that is actually taking place at noon o'clock today.
And people can hear that by doing what?
Going.
Just by going. You have to attend.
It's like a live version.
But you can hear it somehow.
Yes,
on your...
you can subscribe to it, Car Con Carne. Right.
What he's done.
It's a pork pie, or it's a barbecue podcast in a car.
Right, but it's all based out of a car, kind of like the comedy Jerry Seinfeld thing, coffee in a car. This is barbecue in a car. But what he's done, because he is a master not only of the audio arts, but the visual arts, is he has reconstructed the Berwyn car kebab, and he will be doing his podcast from a rotating, like, Civic, 83 Civic, from the top of the
lot of
a spire.
I'm calling it Stage Con Carne.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's perfect.
That would be way cooler, I gotta be honest.
It would be.
the and if he sat in the flattened out Pinto that used to be on the
the hatchback
Cermak
portion.
Plaza.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be stunning. All right, there's much to discuss with you. So let's start with this. On July 11th,
one of
those special designated days for the world of food. And what is it on July 11th?
It's one of my very favorites because while I don't drink frequently, I do enjoy a good mojito.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
And it is National Mojito Day on July 11th. I know Wendy is down there in Nashville working with some of the mojito masters.
as a string quartet.
Mm-hmm. No, but really what it is it's so simple, is it is mint. And
you have to model it, right?
Muddle. Yes, you muddle.
Model, whatever.
You can model a mojito as well.
I guess my profession mixed up with the drinking.
You stand there in vogue with
it.
You
got nice hands.
Yes, you are a model. You muddle, or you can actually slap the mint, which breaks down. It bruises it, and it starts to break down some
you
of those membranes.
Mean.
I know, which is why I muddle. I don't slap. I muddle.
You got to slap it. Slapping's the way to go. It actually
I know, you
releases
are a slapper.
The mintosity.
Yes.
Of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a slapper. I'm a muddler. And
jeez, guys.
When is he going to go to the release party for the Slapper and Muddlers tour? It's down there.
We just got a text from Joan Crawford. She said this is the best segment she's ever heard on the air.
However, you don't use wire hangers when you make mojitos.
Just as a garnish.
The key though, lime, obviously, and then a simple syrup if possible.
Yeah.
But key is a light rum.
How did this become? Because I had heard of mojitos years ago, but it wasn't a big deal. And then all of a sudden, it was the hottest drink available anywhere. What was the turning point? Why did it become so popular so fast?
I think what happened is people enjoyed the freshness and the tropical illusion.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's 68 degrees outside right now. But if I had a mojito in my hand...
It'd
and I'm
lot.
Going to on Saturday during Girls Night Out, by
sure.
the way. If I had a mojito, you can kind of, it's sort of, it's transportational. And it's easy. You know, people have rum and it's not super crazy expensive. You're going to have limes. You have mint. Ta-da! Now you have a mojito.
It's
not
a magical
it's
mojito.
Not crazy.
Is
and
there
you
much
can
variation
slap it versus muddling?
Is there other than what you just described, Hannah? Though, is there much variation, or are you going to get pretty much the same kind of drink?
People
no matter
can
where you
ruin
go?
It if
you
don't
can.
Make it properly. Yeah,
you can. It's either going to be too sweet or definitely not sweet enough, which is going to be the biggest issue.
That's part of what what has been popular. Hannah mentioned it is, you know, it's a great summer cocktail, but also it isn't too sweet. A lot of them are like too fruity, too sweet. You know, you got your pina coladas or your margaritas and your Mai Tais and things. They're all great and they all got their place. But the mojito is equal parts refreshing and equal parts
easy.
It is pretty easy.
Is it possible? The first one I ever had, I still remember, was just too minty. The
you
ones I've had
remember.
Since
yes.
then.
And that's what the problem is, Bill. I think people muddle the mint too much.
Yeah.
And put too, it's supposed to just enhance, not overpower.
And that's why Dane is a slapper.
I'm a slapper.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But you want an undertone of mint. You don't want to be overwhelmed
right.
by
yeah,
it, right?
I mean, it's obviously, it's personal taste, but I would use, I don't know, no more than 10 leaves, mint leaves.
That's too
and
much.
Then muddle. See, and that's too
that
much
does
Wendy.
Seem like a lot.
Wendy likes her mojitos to be rum forward.
Yeah.
In fact, hold the mint.
Right. Right. Maybe just a bottle of rum, Wendy, might be the way to go.
Little glasses. Maybe a shot glass. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And this drink emanated where exactly? Do we know the history of this drink? Where did it come
typically
from?
In my kitchen.
That's
is
the
where
first
it
mojito
starts. No,
started
I
in your
you know I think I had my first one up at Ping Pong in Boys Town. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I mean, the rum is typically from the islands and down over by Dare.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp. It's all about the pirates.
Don't try to cage it in, Bill. Let the mojito expand and just become part of our kind of culture.
All right, I can do that. Although I don't picture pirates going into a pirate bar and asking for a mojito. I see
with
them
a
just,
little umbrella, please.
Right. And them saying, and we get 2-for-1 coupons, so if you could just, if there's some way
well,
we could.
It's happy hour right. is what it is.
Yeah, Barnacle Bill is like, I like mine slab.
You don't think Captain Jack Sparrow would have ordered
no,
a mojito?
I don't see that.
Isn't
I don't know.
A Latin drink with the name mojito?
It would have to be.
I believe it is. South
yeah,
America.
It would
yeah.
have to be.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in keeping with this, you've been doing the Spices Right, Hannah, for
yes.
a while, where you highlight a different spice every week. This ties in beautifully. Today's spice is what?
Today's spice is mint,
oh,
everybody.
How ironic.
I know. Isn't
has the mint lobby gotten to you, Hannah? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, mint. Yeah,
all you're talking about is mint.
It's not
there's a mint lobby in my hotel here in Nashville.
Oh, there is?
She's wearing a chiclet t-shirt.
Yes, and it not only is it sponsored by mint, it's also underwritten by mint.
Oh, it should be, yeah.
No, here's what's interesting about mint. It is the Spices Right Spice of the Week. There are over 30 varieties of mint.
Hmm.
30. Now
peppermint,
that's
winter mint, spearmint.
Yes, all of the Wrigley variations.
Then you get into
it's
the
winter,
Andes Candies family.
Winter green.
Basement.
No, I've actually seen two different things, between 30 and 40 varieties.
Oh, there
of
is.
Mint. Yes. But they do have different properties and qualities and things that you're going to use for different recipes. Spearmint would be one that you would typically put in, let's say, a mojito, because
yeah.
it's more of your quote unquote garden variety, but legitimately it is. Peppermint is something that you would put more like into an ice cream
right.
or something. And actually, here is one of the greatest things. If you happen to be out in the Boulder, Colorado area,
mm-hmm.
and I know.
Hash mint?
No. Pot mint. No, you go to the Celestial Seasonings Factory,
yeah.
and they have a mint room, and it's kind of hermetically sealed. So you don't have to walk in, but as soon as they open the door, it is so overwhelmingly minty that
sure.
it's free aromatherapy.
Yeah.
And you like instantly clear your sinuses.
What's the one that men are afraid of? Commitment. That's the one. I can never remember
I
that.
I thought it was imprisonment, Bill.
Imprisonment, right.
And find stories that take you further with the new ChicagoTribune.com, digitally remastered to fit your device, digitally remastered to fit your life.
It's us. It's Bill and Wendy here on WGN, along with Hannah and Dane of Flavor HD. Now, as we pointed out, you confused some people last week
yes.
with a preview
and we apologize.
Of Taste of Chicago, but
yeah.
we're about to do it again, aren't we?
Well, yeah, because, you know, it worked last week.
yeah,
so Taste of Chicago starts today.
Right.
Pay attention, though, folks. Next weekend,
mm-hmm.
Windy City Smokeout.
The Windy City Smokeout, and that is held where exactly?
Over by Dare.
Right over there. You can.
Actually,
I'm sure everyone can
actually,
see Hannah pointing.
It's actually this weekend, and it is over by Dare. I'll concur.
Oh, you're totally right. It is this
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, July 10th and 12th.
My apologies.
Our little cellophane barbecue dipping cup runneth over.
Wait,
right?
So it runs simultaneous to Taste of Chicago?
Yeah.
It does.
Well,
it, right.
portions of it.
Yeah.
But you just budget your time and maybe get, you know, a little planner out there and you
yeah.
trapper keeper. You can get out to both things. The we've covered this for a few years, and this is now the premier country and barbecue festival in the Midwest.
It's really great.
Hosted by Bub City. Those guys are good, and it's July 10th through the 12th, 2015 at Grand near the river. That's the best they can do with the address because it's so big. So mm-hmm. Grand Avenue, you get to the river, you are there.
You'll see it.
Just walk along the river.
All right.
Poof there.
Now, they've got all the things that you love. Well, they've got ribs, which everybody loves. They've got a lot of great barbecues, some super barbecue stars. Adam Richman is going to be there. Myron Mixon is going to be there. Smoke. Hannah and I are going to talk to Barry from Smoke a little bit later. Lily's Q. A ton of great places from all around the country.
So far, this is the all. This, you've mentioned the all-star team of barbecue.
That's all that's there.
It's all the biggest names.
This is the all-star Hall of Fame.
Salt Lick, Pappy's from St. Louis, Hogapalooza from Arkansas. You know you love those guys.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not only local. It's really all-stars from around the country, really at the top of their game.
And they brought in, as everyone seems to need to do in these food festivals, there's going to be Donut Vault is going to be there, Supreme Lobster, you know, and other things non-barbecue or country music related.
Yeah.
And we mentioned the music. It's going to be some big stars. Casey Musgraves, Lee Bryce, Chris Stapleton, Pat Green. Chris Young, 1,000 Horses, and as they say in the business, many, many more. It's 3 days, and we have...
Why did I even go to Nashville? I could have just partook.
Wendy, this is closer.
Here's the thing. I mean, Casey Musgraves is just so outstanding. She's such a fresh voice in country music. I'm thrilled that she's going to be here.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. And listeners,
she's headlining Friday night. But they have 3 days of stages that all through the day they've got music.
Yes, all through the day, music and food and lots of great beverages, craft beers, Founders, Goose Island, and a few more are going to be there. We're going to talk to some of them as well. And you want to go for all 3 days. And listeners to Bill and Wendy Show and, of course, Flavor HD are going to get a chance to win two 3 day passes.
How do they do this, Dane?
You know, let's think of a way. Let's think of a mint related way. If you can name a mint related candy or something like that. Or maybe you can recount Hannah's version of how to make a mojito or something like
that. What do you need to do to mint if you're not Dane, but you are Hannah?
All right. That's fair. is that what you're going with?
Yes. Hannah does what when she makes mojitos? She does not slap the mint.
Dances inappropriately.
All right. Do it formally so people can get the whole thing.
And the winner of your question. 3 day passes, the correct answer.
When Hannah makes a mojito, she does what to the mint and lime?
All right. That's the question. You may have to run in and tell Kevin the answer just to be safe. 312-981-7200. Are we saying starting with the fifth caller? Is that fair? All right. The fifth caller, if you know the answer to Hannah's question, 312-981-7200, give it one more time just to get it clear.
What does Hannah do to the mint? Dane slaps the mint because he's angry.
You shouldn't do that because now you've just given the only other possible answer. Multiple choice, and it's not this one.
It's not that one. It's something else.
Well, I could talk meanly to it.
You could.
I could probably anger the mint.
All right, hold on. We may have a winner already. That didn't take long
at
all.
No.
Deborah, welcome to the show. It's us, Bill and Wendy, along with Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD. Hannah will ask the question one more time. If you get it right, you're going to this this big Windy City Smokeout Music and Barbecue Festival. Hannah, go ahead. The question.
Hello, Deborah. What do I do when I make a mojito? What do I do to the mint and lime? All right.
Hold on a second.
She's thinking. Where's that thinking music? That dun, dun, dun,
Deborah,
dun.
Go ahead.
Do you muddle them together and mix them together?
I do muddle.
Wow.
Yes,
Deborah
is the big winner.
You will muddle through whatever you do.
I will muddle. And you will, Pat Green is opening for Casey Musgraves, and he is really just the voice of Texas music scene right now. So make sure you see him too.
So Deborah, you're going to win 2 3-day passes. I don't know if you don't have to go all 3 days.
You're not required to attend all 3 days.
But you can if you want. And it's courtesy, of course, of Flavor HD and WGN and all the great folks over at Windy City Smokeout. It is an amazing event. You will have every one of your senses. You'll be in Nirvana. Yeah, right.
Nirvana will
be
there.
All right. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Stay on the line. We'll get all your information. All right.
This was the longest contest ever.
It took a long time. It did take a long time, but look at how happy you made Deborah.
The word muddle.
Again, just to reiterate everything we've covered, today is the very beginning of Taste of Chicago.
Yes.
In its usual place. It's a 4-day festival.
Yes.
And then the Windy City Smokeout starts on Friday.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's located
Grand in the River.
Grand in the River. Hannah, thank you. Dane, thank you.
And Wendy's going to be attending the Grand in the River concert. That sounds like a Brooks and Dunn kind of.
Right. It came full circle. Thank you so much, guys. We've got news next. A lot going on in the news. Steve will give you that. And then when we come back, more of us, Bill and Wendy, right here. here on WGN.
It is Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And, you know, I've been talking about this Donnelly's Wild West Town. It is so fun. It's such a fun day out for kids ages 3 to 11 and even older kids. And, Bill, I think maybe we should give away some family four-packs.
Oh, we have to, yes.
We have two of them exactly. So how about callers 7 and 8 at 312-981-7200. You'll get a four-pack. Bring your family to Donnelly's Wild West Town. It's really honest-to-goodness, wholesome fun. I know you say, then why do I go with my family? Because I'm not really that wholesome. I can be.
It's to see how the other half lives. You just want to sample it and go, yeah, this isn't for me, all this wholesomeness.
So, yes, we will do caller 7 and 8, 312-981-7200. It's like Christmas in July. We're giving things away.
Yeah, very, very generous. Wendy, I think in honor of New York not being able to trade because of what's going on with the stocks, you and I usually trade quips with each other. I think we should suspend trading quips until we know exactly what's going on in New York. Are you okay with
all right.
that?
I'm good with right. it. What will we do then?
I don't know. We'll find something to do. You know, I found this story. As a parent, you always wrestle with yourself sometimes. If your kids do something wrong, you think to yourself, well, I should punish them, but I think the punishment needs to somehow correlate to what they've done. You understand that, of course, don't you?
Yeah, let the punishment fit the crime.
Yeah.
You have to, within reason. I mean, you want to teach a lesson. You don't want to be a Gestapo.
Right. You don't want to.
Gestapo.
It's Gestapo. You don't want to overpunish. You don't want to underpunish. You want to do something that will make your child remember what they've done is incorrect, but not overdo it. I'll tell you a story about a couple in South Carolina, and you be the judge, all right? You tell me if you think this mom and dad did a good job or a bad job of parenting and picking a punishment for their daughter. Are you ready?
Yes. Can I all be right. Judge Judy just for today?
Yeah, you can be Judge all Judy. Right. Absolutely. A South Carolina couple forced their daughter to live in the woods because she snacked on a Pop-Tart without their permission. This according to Sumter County Sheriff's Department. The Sumter County Sheriff's Department. Don't answer yet. I know you're tempted to buzz in with your thoughts. Wait until you hear the whole story. James and Crystal Driggers. Did you ever have Crystal Driggers?
I haven't. I thought they outlawed it. It wasn't good for you.
Right. It's dangerous. James and Crystal Driggers were arrested on child neglect charges after Sumter County deputies found the 14-year-old, that's their daughter, camping alone on Friday, 2 days into her week-long punishment. You've eaten a Pop-Tart? Go off into the woods for a week.
Golly.
The girl was... I know. The girl was sent to a tent about a quarter mile from her home, and her parents gave her a flashlight, a single roll of toilet paper, a whistle, and a watch.
What, a whistle in case, you know, somebody, a bear came or something.
Right.
She could whistle for help.
Right. That's
really,
what you give.
They're...
You give the kid a Pop-Tart for that, so you can give the bear the Pop-Tart. They come in twos.
Really...
Eat one, they're... give the other to a bear.
They gave her toilet paper, so they're really not that bad of
right
appearance.
Right.
A
whole
worse,
roll,
honey. There are leaves out there, you know.
Right. No, the Driggers are fair. They're very fair people. They gave her, like I said, a flashlight, a single roll of toilet paper, a whistle, and a watch for the 7-day what they call a camp out. The forest there in the area in South Carolina is known for its wild hog population. The girl was told to meet someone at a fence at a specific time each day to get food. If she didn't show up at the right time, then she wouldn't eat. This according to her parents.
Wait, there are wild hogs in the forest that they left her in?
Yeah, wild boars. Yep.
God.
Which sound, I haven't had too many encounters with the wild boars, but that sounds dangerous to me.
A little bit.
Doesn't it? Thunderstorms battered Sumter County on Thursday night. That was the first night of the camping sentence. The girl slept in the tent during the downpour. The reason for this bizarre campout, because the girl ate a Pop-Tart without their permission. That according to the couple. They were the first ones to admit that. Like, usually you would sugarcoat that. You would go, well, she's done a series of bad things over a long stretch of time. That's why we did it. But the parents said, well, you know, she had a Pop-Tart. We didn't tell her she could have a Pop-Tart. This isn't
I just
terrible.
Can't even believe people. I know I said a bad word to a worker in
an ice cream
truck.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I am not the best teacher. I agree. But, man, this is anyone can be a parent.
Right. What's the line in Parenthood that you need a license to catch a fish, but anyone can
or
be
to
a
parent? Or to drive a car, but right. any butt, blah, 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 right. can be a parent. Thank
True.
You, Keanu Reeves. Words to live by.
Yep. This isn't the first time that James Driggers and Crystal, his wife, have banished their daughter from the home. Last month, she was forbidden from entering the home between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. That was their form of punishment then. They've come a long way. She's 14. You can certainly send a kid out into the forest for a week at the age of 14, can't you?
To get their Eagle Scout badge, yeah.
I wouldn't last 20 minutes in a forest. She's a 14-year-old girl.
You wouldn't last 2 minutes.
Right. And I've had my share of Pop-Tarts. I'd be doing long time in the forest. If the Driggers, honestly, if they're my judge and jury at any point, I'm going to spend an eternity in the forest.
You'd be executed by now with all the Pop-Tarts you've eaten.
I know.
That is just something else, honestly.
The couple has 5 children. The girl currently is in the custody of the South Carolina Department of Social Services. Her 4 siblings are currently living with their grandparents.
Okay, so it proves they're, you know, not good parents.
No!
Other kids have been taken away.
I mean, not that you can question the motive here, but you have to wonder, is there some history? Do they have something against the Kellogg's Corporation or Pop-Tarts individual? What was there specifically that really set the mom and dad off with the Pop-Tart? Because there's way worse things you can do.
Oh, I was going to say the Keebler Elves, but that's a different company.
No, it's a different company. It's a totally different company. All right.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop?
No, that's different, too.
No, that's Kellogg's.
Oh, that is Kellogg's. That is Kellogg's. That is.
Maybe they... They tortured the Riggers or whatever their name is.
Driggers.
Are. Driggers.
The Driggers. All right. So our heart goes out to the young daughter of the Driggers. We can't imagine a worse parenting job than they've actually done.
That makes me feel better.
No, that's the reason I brought it in. I wanted you to know this. All right. A quick break and then more of us. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Huff and Wendy Schneider on WGN.
We need to congratulate a couple of people. Connie from Algonquin and Kirsten from Plainfield have scored family 4-packs to go to Donley's Wild West Town. And they can go anytime this summer because it's open every day and it's very fun for the whole family. So congrats to those winners.
Wendy, some texts have come in. We just told you the horrible story of a family, a mom and a dad whose daughter ate a Pop-Tart. And the punishment for this was to be sent out into the forest for a week. It didn't quite last a whole week.
But there were wild boars in the forest, too. You forgot to mention that. Right. They left her with a roll of toilet paper. What else? She had a few essentials.
She had
essentials.
A flashlight.
And a whistle.
And a whistle, which shows that there was some compassion with the mom and the dad. There's a text that came in from 708. It said that you guys said that you had no experience with wild boars, but you had Dick Gregory on last week.
I saw that text. I didn't know that's the one you were going to read.
Yeah. And then somebody else said if it was a Concord Grape Pop-Tart, they could see it, but any other flavor, no. Now, I would have gone the brown sugar cinnamon route, but that's just me. But everybody's a little bit different, right?
I like the brown sugar cinnamon, but it has to be frosted.
Oh, yeah. All right. I can see that. I can definitely see that. Hold on. There's a story I'm looking for. You have the texts up there, too, don't you?
Yes, I do. Do you want me to read some of the texts?
Yeah. What else was there? I'm sorry.
Well, somebody said maybe it was the last Pop-Tart and that set him off.
Right.
Sounds like the Rookie Blue episode from last week. I don't know what
that
is.
I didn't see Rookie Blue. I don't know what that means either. These easily are among the most mean parents of all time. I mean, I don't know the history with this girl. I don't know if I don't know what went on before this, but please believe me. There's nothing right about sending your kid out into the forest because they ate a Pop-Tart. It's just wrong in every direction.
And they put a ban on her before. They locked her out of the house right. from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Right.
I mean, she's 14 years old.
Yeah.
And I know everybody's rolling their eyes because I said F you to a food truck vendor here in Nashville, but she said I wasn't fun. My kids sent me back. And, you know, I think she was rude to me and I was sticking up for myself.
There was a texter earlier, Wendy, when you told the story who said they congratulated you for putting the F you in fun.
Yeah, I know. That probably would have been more clever. But people are still texting saying, you know, I'm not setting a good example by doing that. You know what? I'm not. And I'm not perfect. I'm not saying that I set great examples all the time. I was very cordial and nice to the cashier at Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
And they screwed up a little bit. And I like Piggly Wiggly. Can I tell you that?
As a grocery store goes? Yes. No. None of our grocery stores' names rhyme out here in Chicago. That's something we need to work on. Come on, Emmanuel. What are you doing?
And we are still getting texts about Julie and her missing purse. I mean, to this day, and this happened a week ago. So, yes, she was reunited with her purse. It fell off her Divvy bike when she was riding. That's the bottom line.
Right. You saved the day. You absolutely saved the day. Your outburst, by the way, reminded me. I have to tell you a quick story about a friend of mine. He told me this story over the weekend, and I know you'll enjoy it because you just had a similar situation. There was a story that was in the Tribune the other day. I didn't see it. I somehow missed it. But it's about a Dairy Queen that's in Wilmette. It's the Dairy Queen I go to all the time in Wilmette. There's a parking problem there. The Dairy Queen's parking lot only holds about 8 cars. And it's the summer, so as you can imagine, most times when you go to Dairy Queen, there's not enough space there in the Dairy Queen. So to the left and the right of it, they have other businesses. There's a Starbucks on one side. I think there's a garage or something on the other. And the Tribune wrote a story about how the people who own the buildings on each side of the Dairy Queen are cashing in. When you park your car, as soon as you park your car, they boot your car immediately. And it's $130 to get the boot off your car. So my friend told me a story where he said to his wife, he saw the story, he goes, just stay in the car, and if anyone comes near you, just drive away, just drive around. You know, we don't want to pay $130 to park here while we're getting ice cream. They were in the lot for less than a minute. He gets out of the car, goes into the Dairy Queen. She hears a jolt on the car. A woman from the building came and booted the car for $130.
What was she climbing hiding on the ground, in the military
hiding in the bushes.
Style?
Hiding in
Are
the bushes.
You kidding?
No. No. So he came out, he saw the whole thing happen, he had just gotten into the Dairy Queen, and he did a version of what you did, but a little more graphic, just explaining to them how this is uncalled for, it's unfair, you can't do it when somebody's in the car. His wife and daughters were in the car. He goes, if you would have said to her politely, hey, you're in a parking lot you can't be in, she would have moved the car. $130.
I'm sorry, but I didn't know you could just go to, you know, Boots R Us and get your own boots to put on people's cars. I thought that was a...
They hired a security firm. The building hired a security firm who has that ability to do it. But you're right. I don't think just a regular establishment, you know, Jim working behind the desk doesn't just have a boot on him. He can throw on the car. You have to hire a security firm that has that ability. And they said they're not taking it off until you pay the money. So he's out $130. Just to park there for a minute to get some ice cream.
That is terrible. I would have given them an FU with sprinkles on the top for that one.
So that's a slightly friendlier version of what you did, right?
Yeah.
But he goes, I read the article in the Tribune. I knew that that was the case. That's why they stayed in the car, was to safeguard ourselves against getting that. But there's no reasoning with them. Once it's on the car, it's on the car, you know, and you're out all that money.
And I just find it hard to believe that, all right, they're hiding in the bushes, they run out with a boot, but you would see someone walking up to your car, and that's what I'm saying. Did they do, like, the military crawl on the pavement to get to the wheel to put the boot on?
She was wearing all camouflage. She just blended in with the bushes. Or else she had, like, a camouflage, but it was all an ice cream camouflage. So she's like, oh, look, there's a giant ice cream sundae approaching us. This is fantastic.
It's our lucky day.
Right. What bad could come of this? Kids, there's a giant sundae approaching the car with a boot. How about that? You don't see that every day.
No, you certainly don't.
So
that's
be careful.
Terrible.
Be careful out there.
Just all be nice to people.
Wouldn't that be the way to play it, Wendy?
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. All right, speaking of being nice to people, two of the nicest people I've ever met, Bob and Marianne. They'll be in just a little bit. They'll tell us what they've got coming up on their show. Stick around. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Wendy Snyder, right here on WGN. In studio with us right now are Bob and Marianne from Bob and Marianne Show, which is going to be heard just seconds away. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi there.
I've been enjoying playing with wires today, and I was walking around downtown, and I saw a box, and there were two wires in the box. One said New York Stock Exchange, the other said United Airlines, and I pulled them both out. just because I thought, well, the box was open.
You did the right thing.
And I'm thinking maybe this is a fire hazard because it appeared as though smoke was coming from the two wires. Right. So I just pulled them both out.
You did the absolute thing the authorities always tell us to do.
Well, I am, for one, I'm very relieved that it was Bob.
Yes.
Did you hear Mission Impossible music in your thought bubble while you were doing it?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Excellent.
How's the Goo Goo cluster thing going?
I got to tell you something. I got you a little something something.
Right. Hey, you know, you can tour the factory there in Nashville.
Well, let's not push it. And I'm not getting you
really.
12-pack either. That was $20.
Bob, does the Goo Goo family still own Goo Goo cluster, or did they sell it to somebody else?
The Goo Goo dolls. That's who they sell.
I think there was a divorce, and it's now there's only one Goo left.
Oh, that's so sad. I hate to hear that.
That doesn't sound as appealing, Goo, as Goo Goo.